بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful, I testify that there is no true God worthy of worship except Allah, and that Muhammad is Allah's true slave and messenger. We continue the discussion of the book, The Concise Admonition. By Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala. And we reached the point where he said rahimahullah, commenting on the hadith of Mu'ad, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam admonished Mu'ad when he told him, وَأَتْبِعِ السَّيِّئَةَ الْحَسَنَةَ تَمْحُهَا, and follow the bad deed with a good one, by a good one, and it will wipe it out. He said rahimahullah ta'ala, فَالْكَيِّسُ هُوَ الَّذِي لَا يَزَالُ يَأْتِي مِنَ الْحَسَنَاتِ بِمَا يَمْحُ السَّيِّئَةِ. And so the sound person, the person of sound intellect, he is the one who continues to bring forth the good deeds so as to wipe with them or by them the bad deeds. So this is the really sound person. He follows them with the or by the good deeds to remove their effects and to prevent and protect against the protection against the punishment that sins entail. Especially when it is known that the good deed equates 10 or more, and that the bad deed is only one or forgiven. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-An'am in chapter 6 verse 160, من جاء بالحسنة فله عشر أمثالها ومن جاء بالسيئة فلا يجزى إلا مثلها وهم لا يظلمون. In Surah Al-An'am in 6:160, من جاء بالحسنة فله عشر أمثالها ومن جاء بالسيئة فلا يجزى إلا مثلها وهم لا يظلمون. Whoever brings a good deed shall have 10 times the like thereof to his credit, and whoever brings an evil deed shall have only the recompense of the like thereof, and they will not be wronged. So the amplification of the good deed by 10 and even more is binding to all the good deeds, as it's explicitly mentioned in this verse, that it is tenfold, 10 times the like thereof in credit. As to the amplification greater than this level, this is left to Allah's will. This is left to Allah's will. The evidence is in chapter 2, verse 261. مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ أَمْوَالَهُمْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ كَمَثَلِ حَبَّةٍ أنبتت سبع سنابل في كل سنبلة 100 حبة والله يضاعف لمن يشاء والله يضاعف لمن يشاء والله واسع عليم. The likeness of those who spend their wealth in the way of Allah is as the likeness of a grain of corn. It grows 7 ears, and each ear has 100 grains. Allah gives manifold increase to to whom he pleases, to whom he pleases. And Allah is all sufficient for his creatures' needs, and the all knower. Also in Surah An-Nisa, we read in chapter 4, verse 40, قال الله تعالى وَإِن تَكُ حَسَنَةً يُضَاعِفْهَا وَيُؤْتِ مِنْ لَدُنْهُ أَجْرًا عَظِيمًا. Surely Allah wrongs not even of the weight of an atom or a small ant, but if there is any good done, He doubles it and gives from Him a great reward. And in Sahih Muslim, from the hadith of Abdullah bin Mas'ud, when a man brought a camel with a halter, and he said, O Messenger of Allah, this is in the cause of Allah. So the Prophet ﷺ said, لَكَ بِهَا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ 700 ناقة. You will have the equivalent of reward of 700 camels on the day of resurrection. And in the hadith reported by Ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him and his father, that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the hadith which he relates from Allah, that إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلْ كَتَبَ الْحَسَنَاتِ وَالسَّيِّئَاتِ ثُمَّ بَيَّنْ ذلك فمن هم بحسنة فلم يعملها ثم بين ذلك فمن هم بحسنة فلم يعملها كتبها الله عنده حسنة كاملة. Allah has written down the good deeds and the bad ones. Then he explained it by saying فمن هم بحسنة فلم يعملها. He who has intended a good deed and has not done it, Allah writes it down with himself as a full good deed. وَإِنْ هَمَّ بِهَا فَعَمِلَهَا كَتَبَهَا اللَّهُ عِنْدَهُ 10 حَسَنَاتِ إِلَى 700 ضَعْفٍ إِلَى أَضْعَافٍ كَثِيرَةٍ. But if he has intended it and has done it, Allah writes it down with himself as from 10 good deeds to 700 times, or many times over. وَإِنْ هَمَّ بِسَيِّئَةٍ فَلَمْ يَعْمَلْهَا كَتَبَهَا اللَّهُ عِنْدَهُ حَسَنَةً كَامِلَةً وَإِنْ هَمَّ بِهَا فَعَمِلَهَا كَتَبَهَا اللَّهُ سَيِّئَةً وَاحِدَةً. But if he has intended a bad deed and has not done it, Allah writes it down with himself as a full good deed. But if he has intended it and has done it, Allah writes it down as one bad deed. And this is reported by Bukhari and Muslim. And also in Bukhari and Muslim, from the hadith of Abi Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him, that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, كُلُّ عَمَلِ ibn Adam يُضَعَثْ. All the actions of the son of Adam are amplified. الحسنة بعشر أمثالها, the good deed amplified to 7, to 10, to 700 folds over. قال الله عز وجل, Allah says, إلا الصيام, except fasting, فإنه لي, it is for me, وأنا أجزي به, and I reward for it. يدع شهوته وطعامه وشرابه من أجلي, he abandons his desire, his food and his drinks for me. And in another narration, to 700 to whomever he wills. And in the hadith of Abi Dharr, also in Sahih Muslim, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, من عمل حسنة, whoever does a good deed, فله عشر أمثالها, then he will have 10 good deeds أو أزيد or more. وأن عمل سيئة فجزاؤها مثلها أو أغفر. And anyone who does a bad deed, then it will be written one for him. It will be one bad deed for him, recompensed for it. أو أغفر, or that I will forgive him. Then Shaykh al-Islam rahimahullah continues. In the hadith of Mu'ad, he said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned the sayyi'ah, the bad deed, before he mentioned the good deed, because what is intended in mentioning the good deed is that of its effect, meaning it wipes out the bad deed. And this is like the hadith of the Bedouin when he urinated in the mosque. The Prophet ﷺ said, صُبُّ عَلَيْهِ ذَنُوبًا مِمَّا. Pour on it a bucket or tumbler of water. And he used this, Shaykh al-Islam, indicating that pouring the water is not intended in itself, but rather to remove the remains of the urine. And that's why in the hadith of Mu'ad, the sayyi'ah was introduced in the statement before the good deed, and the good deed is not intended in itself, but as a wipe out effect to remove the bad deed. And the hadith of the Bedouin is a famous hadith. It is in Sahih al-Bukhari, where Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him, said, قام أعرابي, a Bedouin stood up, فبال في المسجد, and he urinated in the mosque, فتناوله الناس, and people caught him, grabbed him. فقال لهم النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said to them, دعوه, leave him alone. وهريقوا على بوله سجلا من ماء أو ذنوبا من ماء, and pour on his urine a bucket of water or a tumbler of water, let it pass over the urine. فإنما بعثتم ميسرين, verily you have been sent to make things easy. ولم تبعثوا معسرين, you have not been sent to make things difficult. And this is a great hadith, a great textual proof in the manners and etiquettes of dealing with that which is wrong. And then Shaykh al-Islam rahimahullah said, وَيَنْبَغِي أَن تَكُونَ الْحَسَنَاتُ مِنْ جِنْسِ السَّيِّئَاتِ. It should be known that the good deeds be from the same kind of the bad deeds. فَإِنَّهُ أَبْلَغُ فِي الْمَحْوُ. Since this would be more assertive in wiping out. What does this mean? It means, for example, of the same kind. If someone backbites someone, mentions him in bad ways, then his good deed that he should utilize to wipe out this backbiting is to mention him in goodness, in the same way as he mentioned him in bad way. Another example. Someone spreading mischief amongst people, this is a bad deed. The good deed of its kind is to regret and correct what he had corrupted. Third example. Someone severs the ties with his parents or kins. This is a bad deed. And the good deed is, from its kind, is to be righteous to them and to strengthen the ties with kinship. He said, فَإِنَّهُ أَبْلَغُ فِي الْمَحْوُ. then it is more assertive in its effect of wiping out the bad sin when it is of the same kind. And this is not binding, meaning that it's a must be of the same kind. And that's why he said, وَيَنْبَغِي, and it should be. He didn't say it must be. Because generally, doing the good deeds wipe out the bad deeds. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّ الْحَسَنَاتِ يُذْهِبْنَ السَّيِّئَاتِ. Verily, the good deeds remove the bad ones. And there are so many examples about this. And one of the examples is the hadith of the prostitute from the children of Israel, which came in Sahih al-Bukhari and Sahih Muslim. And in it, the Prophet ﷺ said, بينما كلب يطيف بركية أي ببئر كاد يقتله العطش إذ رأته بغي من بني إسرائيل من بغايا بني إسرائيل فنزعت موقها أي خفها واستقت له به فسقته إياه فغفر لها به. A prostitute from the prostitutes of the children of Israel passed by a panting dog. وَيَكُمْ passed by a panting dog near a well. And she saw the dog was about to die of thirst. She saw the dog was about to die of thirst. So she took off her leather sack or shoe and tied it with her head cover. She tied it to her head cover and it drew out some water for the dog. So Allah forgave her because of that. So now contemplate how the wiping of the sin is not of the same kind. Because doing goodness to the dog is not from the kind of adultery and prostitution she was committing. And the examples on this are many. Then he said, Rahimahullah, then he said in his admonition, وَالذُّنُوبُ يَزُولُ مُجِبُهَا بِأَشْيَاءَ. And there are matters which take away the causes that lead to punishment due to sins. Because we know that punishment or sins entail punishment in hellfire, and that the sinner is under the threat of punishment. But there are causes that repel the punishment and nullify the threat and pacify the threat. These causes are known as impediments hindering the threat execution. These are called impediments hindering the threat execution and punishment. And there are 10. These causes are 10. Deducted from the book and the sunnah. In this admonition, which we are dealing with, Shaykh al-Islam, rahimahullah, mentioned 4 of them. But in many other books and treaties, he detailed the ten causes. And we went over yesterday or last night in summarizing these 10 causes. And they are as follows. We will summarize them again tonight, but we're going to continue. We're going to continue with them. Number 1, Tawbah. First one is Tawbah, repentance. Second, seeking forgiveness. Third, doing good deeds. Third, dua by the believers. Dua by the believers for him. Fifth, offering some of the reward of believers to him, which will benefit him, like charity, like hajj, and the like. Sixth, receiving the Prophet's intercession. Receiving the Prophet's intercession. And this is on the day of resurrection. Seventh, receiving the Prophet's intercession. Seventh, testings and trials. Testings and trials. Eighth, or seven, testings and trials. Eighth, trials during the barzakh, during the barrier life, which is the life between this one and the next one. Nine, testings during the horrors of the day of resurrection. Testings and trials during the horrors of the day of resurrection, which all will mount to expiating his sins. And the tenth, receiving Allah's mercy, or that Allah forgives him, receiving his mercy. And he said, rahimahullah, listen to what he said, Shaykh al-Islam, when he mentioned these in several places, and he discussed them thoroughly. And inshallah ta'ala, we will go over his discussion of these 10 causes that stand as impediments hindering the threat, execution, and punishment. He said, rahimahullah, فَمَنْ أَخْطَأَتْهُ هَذِهِ الْعَشَرَةِ, anyone who these 10 causes misses him, فَلَا يَلُومَنَّ إِلَّا نَفْسَ, then let him only blame himself. Then let him only blame himself. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Hadith al-Qudusi, Ya Ibadi, O my slaves. Yes, he said, rahimahullah, anyone whom these 10 causes misses him, then let him only blame himself. And then he cited the Hadith al-Qudusi, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ya Ibadi, O my slaves, إِنَّمَا هِيَ أَعْمَالُكُمْ, indeed, it is your deeds. أُحْصِيهَا لَكُمْ, I count them for you. ثُمَّ أُوَفِّيكُمْ إِيَاهَا, then I will recompense you for them. فَمَنْ وَجَدَ خَيْرًا, whoever finds good, فَلْيَحْمَدِ اللَّهِ, then let him praise Allah. وَمَنْ وَجَدَ غَيْرَ ذَلِكَ, and anyone who finds other than that, فَلَا يَلُومَنَّ إِلَّا نَفْسَ, then let him only blame himself. Then we continue. He said, وَالذُّنُوبُ يَزُولُ مُوجِبُهَا بِأَشْيَاءَ, then he mentions the causes, and he mentions the first cause, and this is the tawbah. At-tawbah. The first one is at-tawbah. This is one of the impediments. This is one of the impediments which can neutralize the threat of punishment. And one of the means by which the punishment entailed by sins may be removed through repentance. And this is the most important cause and most greatest. And there is no dispute regarding it. Shaykh al-Islam rahimahullah, he said, the textual proofs from the Quran and the Sunnah indicate that the punishment on sins can be removed by 10 causes, and one of them is at-tawbah. And then he added, وَهَذَا مُتَّفَقٌ عَلَيْهِ بَيْنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ, and this is a matter agreed upon by Muslims. And there is nothing, no cause, that can wipe all sins except at-tawbah. قال الله تعالى, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Zumar 39:53, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. يَا عِبَادِي, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا. Say, O my slaves who have transgressed against themselves by committing evil deeds and sins, despair not of the mercy of Allah. Verily Allah forgives all sins. Truly He is oft forgiving, most merciful. This is for the one who repents. Don't forget that. And that's why He said, despair not of the mercy of Allah. He said it after what? After, or rather he said after it, the following in the next verse, please, in 54, he said, وَأَنِيبُوا إِلَىٰ رَبِّكُمْ, and turn to your Lord. And since this is the greatest cause, and it has the greatest merit, here it is, and turn in repentance and in obedience with true faith to your Lord. So it must be with repentance, meaning the person repent. And that's why he said, despair not. And then afterwards he said, turn in repentance and in obedience to your Lord, submit to Him before the torment comes upon you, then you will not be helped. So we will examine now some of the matters related to At-Tawbah and the rulings regarding At-Tawbah. First, what is the definition of Tawbah? Very close definitions, legal definitions, as to the linguistic meaning, it means returning and regret and to turn. Legally, abandoning sin, knowing its ugliness, regretting, determining not to return if able, making up for what had been wrongfully done out of sincerity to Allah, hoping for His reward, fearing His punishment, and to take place before examining death and before the sun rises from its sunsetting place. This is the definition of, the legal definition of Tawbah. As to the merits and secrets of Tawbah, there are many. Number one, Tawbah is a cause for success and happiness in the two abodes, this abode and the hereafter's abode. قال الله تعالى in Surah An-Nur in chapter 24:31, وَتُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا أَيُّهَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. وَتُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا أَيُّهَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ, which means, and turn to Allah in repentance, all you believers, لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ, so that you may attain success and be successful. Secondly, التوبة تكفر السيئات, expiate sins. So if the slave of Allah truly repents to him, Allah will expiate all of his sins. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah At-Tahrim, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O who you believe, توبوا إلى الله توبة نصيحة نصوحة. Repent to Allah in sincerity and truly. عسى ربكم أن يكفر عنكم سيئاتكم. Allah will forgive you your sins ويدخلكم جنات تجري من تحتها الأنهار. And thus he will admit you to gardens under which rivers flow in paradise. In Surah At-Tahrim, verse 8. Thirdly, At-Tawbah changes bad deeds into good deeds. At-Tawbah changes bad deeds into good deeds. If the Tawbah is correct, Allah will change the bad deeds into good ones for the one who truly and sincerely repents. Allah stated this in Surah Al-Furqan, in Surah Al-Furqan 25:70. In Surah Al-Furqan 25:70, Allah says, إِلَّا مَنْ تَابَ وَآمَنَ وَعَمِلَ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا فَأُولَٰئِكَ يُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ حَسَنَاتٍ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا. Except those who repent and believe in Tawheed and do righteous deeds, for those Allah will change their sins into good deeds, and Allah is oft forgiving, most merciful. Imam Ibn Al-Qayyim rahimahullah said, وَهَذَا مِنْ أَعْظَمِ الْبِشَارَةِ لِلْتَائِبِينَ, and this is of the greatest glad tidings to those who repent. إذا اقترن بتوبتهم إيمان وعمل صالح. If there goes with their توبة إيمان, they have faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and righteous deeds. And he said, وهو حقيقة التوبة. And this is the reality of توبة. Ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him and his father, said, ما رأيت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فرح بشيء قط فرحه بهذه الآية لما أنزلت. I haven't seen the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم so pleased with something as this verse when it was revealed. Meaning this verse which we recited now, except those who repent and believe and do righteous deeds, for those Allah will change their sins into good deeds, and Allah is oft forgiving. Then Ibn Abbas added, and as well in his pleasure upon the revealing of Surah Al-Fath. Of Surah Al-Fath. Yes, I haven't seen the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam pleased with someone as this verse, with anything, as his pleasure with this verse when it was revealed. As well as in his pleasure with the revelation of Surah Al-Fath. Inna fatahna laka fathan مبينة. ليغفر الله ما تقدم من ذنبك وما تأخر. So this will be 48 verses 1 and 2. Fourth, Allah loves Tawbah and those who repent. قال الله تعالى in Surah Al-Baqarah, here is the verse, verily we have given you Muhammad a manifest victory that Allah may forgive you your sins of the past and of the future, and complete his favor on you and guide you to the straight path. Fourthly, Allah loves Tawbah and those who repent. Allah said in Surah Al-Baqarah in 2:2:2:2, إن الله يحب التوابين ويحب المتطهرين. إن الله يحب التوابين ويحب المتطهرين. Truly Allah loves those who turn unto Him in repentance and love those who purify themselves. Fifth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with the repentance of those who repent. And this pleasure was not made in any regarding any of the acts of obedience except tawbah. It was not mentioned regarding any kind of repentance except in the case of tawbah. And this has a profound effect on the one who repents and his heart. The Prophet ﷺ mentioned this situation of Allah's pleasure in the hadith reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. And in this hadith, Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrated, he related to us two narrations, one from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the other from himself, saying, a believer sees his sins as if he were sitting under a mountain, which he is afraid may fall on him. Whereas the wicked, the evil doer, the fajr, considers his sins as flies, passing over his nose, and he just drives them away like this. And then the sub-narrator, Abu Shihab, moved his hand over his nose in illustration. Ibn Mas'ud added, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah is more pleased with the repentance of his slave than a man who encamps at a place where his life is jeopardized, but he has his riding animal carrying his food and water. He then rests his head and sleeps for a short while and wakes to find out that his riding animal has gone. He starts looking for it and suffers from severe heat and thirst, or what Allah wished him to suffer from. He then says, I will go back to my place. He returns and sleeps again, and then getting up, he raises his head to find his riding animal standing beside him. Allah is more pleased with the repentance of this than his pleasure in finding his animal and his life again. This is a hadith illustrating this matter with respect to the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the tawbah regarding the repentance of those who repent. The sixth matter is, the tawbah entails so many great stations attained only through it. Like, for example, it entails love, kindness, gratitude to Allah, praising Him, being pleased with Allah, all due to the tawbah. And this is more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than so many of the apparent actions, which even may exceed in number. And in extent. But the ubudiyyah, the slavery of Allah through repentance and humility, this is the essence of worship. And that's why it's love to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Here we should mention some matters which the Muslims should be aware concerning tawbah. Number one, the door of tawbah is open. The most generous, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, opened this door. And He commanded and incited the believers to turn to him in repentance. And he promised to accept, whether it comes from the kafir, or the mushrik, or the apostate, or the tyrant, or the oppressor, or the disobedient ones. Ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him, said, من آية عباد الله من التوبة بعد هذا فقد جحد كتاب الله عز وجل. Anyone who disturbs the slaves of Allah concerning tawbah after this, then he as if he denies the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And indeed he denies the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Second, the tawbah is two types. The tawbah is two types. Obligatory and recommended. Obligatory and recommended. The obligatory one is from unlawful deeds, from committing unlawful deeds, or abandoning the obligatory ones. So this is the first one, the obligatory tawbah. And it, the obligatory one, is from unlawful deeds or abandoning the obligatory ones. Abandoning what is obligatory. The recommended one is from doing disliked things, makruh, or abandoning recommended deeds. And abandoning recommended deeds. So this is the second one, which is the recommended tawbah. From doing disliked things or abandoning recommended deeds. And the one who takes by the obligatory one, he is from the righteous. And the one who takes both, he is from those who are hastening to good. He are from those who are hastening to good. And the one who does not bring the first one, then he is from the wrongdoers, either kafir or rebellion. Thirdly, the pure tawbah. The pure tawbah. This is the sincere and truthful one. This is the sincere tawbah. Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. The truthful one, free from impurities and defects. And this one is the one which covers all sins. And this is the one which covers all sins, leaving none except that it deals with it. The pure tawbah. And it is the one built upon determination, truthfulness, without hesitation, without waiting, shaking, no, firmness. And it occurs due to mere awe and fear, and love and hope, and yearning to what is with Allah, and fearing His wrath and punishment. The one who suffices these matters, the one whose condition of tawbah is like this, all of his sins will be forgiven. And when it is like this, Allah will change his bad deeds into good ones. This is at-tawbah an-nasuh, the pure tawbah. The second tawbah is, the second one, or the fourth rather, the fourth matter, is at-tawbah al-khassa, the special tawbah, the particular one. And this is whereby the person repents from some sins while insisting on doing others, while insisting on doing other things. Like the one who repents from, let's say, theft, while insisting on drinking alcoholic beverages and the like. This is a particular tawbah. This is a particular and special one. And its ruling that it is correct in that which he repented from, as long as he does not insist on another sin of the same kind. And he is still on the origin of Iman. That he still have Iman within him. So every sin has its own particular tawbah. So a person may be repenting from one angle and still doing other things, so he's not in this case as in the former case where the pure tawbah qualifies for wiping out all sins when it is attained. Also, freeing oneself from injustice and from the rights of others. Freeing oneself from injustice and from the rights of others. Tawbah relates to the right of Allah as well as the right of the people. As to the right of Allah, the person repents, and this is a matter between him and Allah, as explained earlier. As to the other one, where there are some rights to some people, then he should relieve himself from this and give the rights to those who deserve them. But suppose he is unable. A person cannot reach these people, and even he cannot reach their inheritors if they died. Then he can offer these rights as charity on their behalf. And it is hope for him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, pardoning. Fifth, the tawbah of the one who is unable to do sin. Listen to this. The tawbah of the one who is unable to do sin. Example. One, for some reason, is unable to commit a sin. Like someone who is sentenced to legal punishment, and while he is in jail, awaiting the execution. Or the one who may be sentenced to life sentence. فَهَلْ لِهَذَا تَوْبَةً. Is there repentance for this? The correct opinion is that he does have one. And it is in the form of regret. And to abandon the yearning to do sin. This is the form of tawbah with respect to this case. Now, the tawbah of the one who does manslaughter, determined manslaughter. The correct opinion is that his tawbah is acceptable if he truly returns to Allah and regrets his deeds and surrenders himself to the inheritors of the victim so that they can take their right by qisas, by the legal capital punishment on him, or pardoning, or blood money. Nullifying tawbah. This is like a person who repents, then comes again and do the same sin. In this case, he nullified the tawbah, and it is binding upon him to renew it. And the one who returns to his sin, he acquires the new sin, not the former one, because the former one has been lifted by his former tawbah. Now, the return of the old good deeds to the one who repents . Example, someone has good deeds, then he did bad ones which consumed his former good deeds and nullified them. Then after that, he made a sincere, pure tawbah. Then his old good deeds returned to him, because the bad between the two acts of obedience has been lifted by his sincere tawbah, as if they don't exist, and the two obediences now converge. The return of the one who repents to his former good state before sinning. A person may have a good rank and good condition with Allah. This may be removed because of a sin he may have committed. Then afterwards he repents. Would he return to the same good old condition or not? Or to a lower rank, or to a better one? The answer, some of the people who repent return to their similar old state, and some return to a better one, and some return to even lower one. So, after repentance, if he comes better than before the sin, and more careful, and more humble, and more in awe, then he will return to a higher degree. And if, before committing the sin, he was best in these matters and did not return to them after his tawbah, then in this case, his case diminishes. And if his situation before and after is the same, then he returns to his rank. All of these things had been preponderated by Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah. And now we move to mistakes of people regarding tawbah.